chapter 4. The message that's been on my heart since several days ago for this service this morning. I don't have any doubt what they're saying here that needs this real bad, and I hope that you'll listen this morning. Give me your attention for just a few minutes as we try to bring the message from the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 3. Bible said there in verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world..." Interesting phrase there. Little g, you know that's not talking about our God. It's talking about the devil. When the Bible uses that term, God of this world, talking about Satan, he is temporarily in charge of what's going on here in this world. The Bible said that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So the devil right now is the God of this world, little g. "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, "Has the devil blinded you?" Give you just a minute to get settled down here. Ask you to, everybody, to be still. I don't want anybody else getting up unless it's a necessary moving. And you mamas, help me out. I want it to be real quiet in here so everybody can hear. Except for those, of course, praising the Lord, amen, hallelujah, and that type of thing. The devil's job is to blindfold you and keep you from seeing the wonderful things of God. If the devil can do this, his job is accomplished. Now, notice the Bible didn't say the devil has blinded the eyes of them that believe not. A lot of people can see good with their eyes, 20/20 vision, but the devil has blinded their minds. Man be better off with his eyes blind than his mind blind. Fanny Crosby couldn't see what color this microphone cover is, or what color this one is. She couldn't see anything, this church, me, or you. But she could see a long way past many scientists and philosophers and theologians of our generation. Her eyes were blind, but she could see in her heart and her mind by faith. The devil's job is, if God has something good for you, the devil's job is to take a blindfold, put it over your mind so that you can't see the good things of God. Has the devil blinded you? The devil blinded Adam and Eve to the result of their sin there in the Garden of Eden. Temporarily. He can get you to just forget about the results. He can get you to forget about the consequences. Put that blindfold over your face. He's got you right where he wants you. The devil blinded Samson to Delilah's lap and the results and consequences of what would happen to him. David, to the results of his adultery with Bathsheba. When you're about ready to sin, all you can see is that sin. You're blinded to the results of that sin. He blinded Balaam to the angel of the Lord there when he was getting ready to slay him there when he was on his donkey. He blinded the Pharisees to the truth of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He blinded Paul before he's saved to the plan of God. Millions of people today are blinded to the things of God. I want to say, first of all, this morning, the devil blinds men to the goodness of God. The Bible said that His mercies are new every morning. There's none of us in here this morning can really comprehend how good God is to us. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God is good. God has been good to us. Boy, if you feel like just getting up and putting on your clothes and walking in here today, God's been good to you. But many times the devil will blind you to the goodness of God. You know, have you ever noticed how that bad news travels so fast and you hardly ever hear anything good on the news or in the newspaper? On the airplane the other day, red newspaper. I hardly ever read a newspaper. But they took my bag away from me right before I got on the plane. They said there wasn't room for it. Stuck it in there and had my Bible in it. So I stuck with a newspaper on the airplane. And I began to read. Nothing but bad news. Nothing but bad things happening. Nothing but terrible things. You don't hear much news of good things happening. As a matter of fact, the proper response you hear out there in the world is that when you mention God or the Bible or the blessings of the Lord out there in the world, people will immediately shut you up and say, there's a time and a place for that type of thing, and the time and place is your church on Sunday morning. Don't come out here talking about that God stuff to us all through the week. We don't want to hear it. That is to be confined to the four walls of the church. Do you know what they ought to do? They ought to put it on the news on Monday morning, have people get saved on Sunday morning. That would be in the newspaper. Praise God! 10 people were delivered from eternal punishment from the lake of fire at such and such, such church on Sunday morning. But you don't hear it much out in public. It embarrasses people. I had a little experience yesterday morning. I come home from Florida, got home Friday evening, and I'd been gone for a week and then preaching for a week, and I was about to look like a hippie, so I went to the barber shop, and I went to the barber shop and sat there to get a haircut. Saturday morning is a bad time to go to the barber shop because it's always real crowded. And so I knew I was going to sit there, so I thought I'd get the Bible out. They'd always keep a Bible in them. If you'll dig far enough down under stacks of magazines, you can find a Gideon Bible. So you know, and I usually try to find it. And I got the Bible out, sat down there and started reading it. And just so happens that one of our special citizens was in there with another guy getting his hair cut. And well, this is one of our special citizens that really gets into praising God. When he's here, he's sat right over there. On Sunday night. So you know which one I'm talking about. He is a real blessing. I mean, he's a blessing. I was sitting there kind of reading that Bible out. I was kind of hoping, I hate to say this, I was kind of hoping that he would not notice me because I knew what would happen. I hate to say that. I know you think I'm awful, but you know, there's people sitting in there, and here I am. I'm the dignified reverend of the downtown large church here in Marion. So I was sitting there, and he's walking around back and forth in there, wound up sitting down right beside me. Here I sit reading the Bible. I said, how you doing? I didn't have on a tie. I thought maybe he won't recognize me. But he did. And we talked there for a minute, and he said, okay, you can come sit down. I sit down there in the barber's chair. There's a guy sitting over here. You're facing them then, you know. They're all lined up against the wall. You're sitting, here's a chair, there's a chair. I was sitting there, all them guys, and boy, he cut loose. I mean to tell you, he cut loose. He is sitting right across from me. I was sitting in the chair, and he was in there. He said, amen, praise God. He said, that man right there will preach. He's a good preacher. That man right there, buddy, he'll preach. He ain't a scared. He'll stand up and preach. I'm sitting there in a chair like him. And you know something? I said, there's people in there, boy, and everybody just started looking down like this. And he said, praise God, I ain't afraid of that old devil. He said, praise God, Jesus been good to me, praise God. He said, the Lord's blessed me. And buddy, he could, you know, after a few minutes, I started getting a blessing out of that. I started saying, amen, brother. Pour it on. Hallelujah. And he was saying, amen, good God. He said, these people get out here and they smoke that old pot. And they smoke, drink that old beer. He said, that ain't right. He said, God's going to get you for that. And there's an old boy sitting over there just looking right straight down the floor. That's the way he's doing. Here's the way he's doing. He's sitting in his chair going just like this. It was deathly quiet in there except for him. I was sitting there. I was getting tickled at him. He said, that man, he said, cut his hair good. Cut his hair good. He said, buddy, he said to Matt, he'll beat that desk. He said, I'd like to hear him beat that desk. Boy, he'll beat that desk. He'll beat that thing. I was sitting there thinking, oh my soul. They have no idea what he's talking about. Lord does something like that to me every now and then just to keep me off my high horse. And buddy, I was sitting there and I felt guilty for not enjoying it. And I thought, well, I'm a hypocrite. Here he is. He's more right with God than I am. And I said, amen. That's right. Amen. And I was getting a blessing out of it. He said, give him a best haircut in town. Amen. Barber said, that's the first time I ever got an amen on a haircut right there. You know, I got thinking about that. I thought, buddy, people don't want to hear about how good God is out there in the world. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it, but it'll tighten up just like that. People, you want to hear, see people clam up? Just go in tomorrow at work, start talking about how good God was to you today. Go ahead and say, hallelujah. Boy, I got a blessing yesterday at church. Buddy, we had a good Sunday school. We had a preacher was fed up. We had a blessed time. Praise God, we had 10 people in the altar. You watch me. They don't want to hear it. The devil blinds men to the goodness of God. You know what I read about the other day, not too long ago? I read about a fella who, a 35-year-old electrician named George Albrecht, who has sued God and company. Company meaning preachers. He sued a lawsuit against God and company after an accident that he was in had been declared an act of God. A secretary in Oakland has now sued God for letting lightning strike 4 homes. She sued God for careless and negligent operation of the universe. Honest, a legal lawsuit. I mean, you can sue anybody you want to now. There have been at least 2 or 3 recorded suits against God. We don't like the way you're running things, God. We don't like the way... You shouldn't have let this happen. You shouldn't have let that happen. Of course, I doubt very seriously if he showed up in court that day that he's supposed to be there. I'm telling you what, brother, that shows how blind people are to the goodness of God. Instead of griping about your house getting struck by lightning or griping about bad things happening, buddy, we ought to be thank our knees this morning thanking God Almighty that it ain't 10,000 times worse than it is. When you look at all the sin that's going on in this world and all the things that's happening and what's going on, I don't see how God can keep from wiping the whole thing out. The devil will blind you to the goodness of God. You know, you ever noticed how good God is? I had a man down here at the railroad track one day. I began to talk to him. I said, why don't you come to church and get right with God? He looked at me and he said, how do we know there is one? And I said, well, because we're here, because everything else is here, because he hears and answers our prayer, because the Bible tells us about him, the Bible's proved itself to be true, on and on and on. He was mocking God like, God ain't never done nothing good for me. That boy's dead now. He got killed not too long after that, and he found out there's a God. He found out that every good thing he ever had in his life come from God. The devil blinds you to the goodness of God. Did you know what the Bible says God knows? God knows cares more about you than you care about yourself. Bible said God knows every hair on your head is numbered. You ever thought about that? How many people in here knows exactly how many hairs is on your... Now, it's not fair. Some of you can't play. I'm not about the rest of you. Some's turned gray, some turned loose. But I'm not talking about the rest of you people. How many people in here? Anybody know how many hairs that you have on your head? Would you raise your hand? Not one person. Not one person. Well, what you say, God? No, you don't know that either. You don't know. They say that if an average woman, if she has black hair, has 110,000 approximately hairs on your head. If you have blonde hair, runs up near about 130, 140. You know, because you can see through it more, I reckon. I don't know. But if you have blonde hair, you have naturally less hair on your head than black hair. I don't know why that is. And you lose an average of about 100 per day. And if you don't believe that, that's why I got 4 blondes in my house. And buddy, I got carpet the same color as their hair, so you can't see it. And you look in the brush, man. Sometimes I'll pick up a brush and I'll think, yuck. I think, good night, man. The things ain't even sticking through. Hey, cement. And but did you know what? You know what God has? God has a recorder up there. And let's say my daughter has 132,000 hairs on her head. This morning when she brushed it, If she did, she might have lost 30 or 40 this morning. How the Lord subtracted them from her head. He knows she had 131,960. He knows every single thing you go through. He knows everything in your heart right now. God's giving you every breath you breathe. God's letting your lungs suck in air right now. He's letting your heart beat right now. The devil binds people to the goodness of God. Let me tell you something, brother. God is great. God is good. He's good today. I'm bragging on Him because of the goodness of God. Secondly, the devil blinds men to their own spiritual condition. It don't matter how we look to men. It's what really matters is how we look in the eyes of God. They'll tell you how good you are. Have you ever noticed that every time you talk to somebody about their spiritual condition, they always say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't see how these people can get out and do this and get out and do that. I may not be perfect, preacher, but I sure don't do what so-and-so does. And to hear them tell it, somebody else is the sinner. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil blinds people to their own spiritual condition. The devil will make you think everything's all right. He'll make you think you're just the best person in the world. It never ceases to amaze me how that the world can live for the devil all the time and in one breath change it and start quoting Bible scriptures and start just talking about God. And you notice every one of them's going to heaven. You very seldom meet anybody who says, yes, I'm going to hell. I've never been to a funeral where the person went to hell. At least that's the impression you get. The impression you get, he's a good man. She's a good woman. The devil blinds people to their own spiritual condition. You know what we do? We start justifying ourselves. We start thinking, well, I'm pretty good, and I've done this, and I've never done that. I've never killed anybody. I've never robbed a bank. I've never stole anything that really mattered. And so, I tell you, I think I'm a fine person. I surely am on my way to heaven. But brother, the Bible teaches that without God, we're always an unclean thing. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the very best you can possibly do, you're altogether vanity. It never ceases to amaze me how Hollywood movie stars can have a special program and raise Cain for 55 minutes and have insinuating jokes and suggestive smirks and grins through the entire thing, and then at the last all get around and sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That amazes me. I don't see how they can make jokes about adultery and fornication and make suggestive things about sleeping with people they're not married to and everything, and then all of a sudden say, yeah, good old God, amazing grace that saved wretches like us. You know what's the matter with them people? They're blind to their spiritual condition. People that say, I'm alright, I don't need to go to church, are blind to their spiritual condition. Listen, if you're saved this morning and your eyes are open and the blinds are taken down off you, you realize what a sinner you are and you realize how much help you need from God Almighty. I'm amazed that the president can make a speech accepting homosexual lifestyle in the military and condoning abortion and then end the speech saying, God bless you. That blows my mind. How can we mix God and abortion and homosexuality into the same speech, brother? You know why? Because they're blind to their own spiritual condition. You say, well, Brother Danny, their God may not be the same as our God. Well, you got that right. It ain't. I got news for you. There's only one God. And the rest of them are false gods. And the God of this world has blinded the mind. The devil has filled our churches with religious do-gooders, pretending participate in other day activities and specials and choir singing and all that kind of stuff when they don't realize their own condition before a holy God and need to be born again by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what all this environmental stuff is? You know what that's a result of? People are blind to their spiritual condition. They want to have something to believe in. They want to have a cause. They want to have a purpose. People like to believe in something. People like to think I'm helping something. People have a natural need to worship God. And when they don't worship God, they'll channel it into saving whales or owls or gnats or flies or mosquitoes or something like that. By the way, if all whales have a right to live, all cockroaches have a right to live. Do you reckon they spray, have the working man come spray their house? Some of them probably don't. I mean, they're crazy things live in ants and bugs and rats and everything else. If it's a sin to kill a owl, it's a sin to kill a rat. Sin to kill a owl, sin to ride in a car that kills gnats all the way down the highway on your windshield. Amen. You know what these people are? They're hypocrites putting up a religious front to try to impress people with, I'm good. You know, Paul McCartney and his wife and his band's on a tour, I reckon still going on. They're touring the whole country, and you know what the purpose of that tour is? It ain't because Paul got broke and need a little money. The whole purpose of that tour is to convince you that you ain't supposed to eat no more and be a vegetarian. Because Paul and Linda was one day sitting eating lamb chops, and they looked out there and saw the pretty little sheep on a nearby hillside. And suddenly the truth struck them. And she said, I can't believe we're eating them things. And they laid it down and gave it up. And said no more. And now they eat leaves. Bird seed. Grass and stuff like that. And they're going to try their best to put the guilt trip on all their sucker fans to make them surrender and have the same conviction. You know what they're doing? They're setting themselves up as, oh, you barbaric people, how could you do that? We're better than you are. Linda McCartney said, I dream of the day when we can all look back and say, oh, how could we eat those precious creatures? How could we stand on stage and sing songs and beat the corrupt young people's morals? How could we do that, McCartneys? And what they are? They're blind to their own spiritual condition. Amen? I tell you what, brother. The other day I thought, isn't that pitiful? He made $57 million in 1 year and the poor fella can't even eat at McDonald's when he wants to. That's awful. You know what? Must be a miserable life. Here I am, an old hick from Nebo, and I can go to McDonald's one day and Burger King the next, and I can have a good time, praise God, and he's a millionaire and can't even go eat. He's a pauper, man. I tell you, he lives worse than some of our bus kids or some of the poorest folks in town or anybody else. He's blind to his own spiritual condition. Number three, right quickly, the devil blinds men to the way of salvation. The devil says, you don't understand it. Forget it. The devil will make you think this morning, you don't understand this thing. You don't understand the Bible. Forget about it. The devil says, if you're saved, you can't be happy. You have to give up anything that's any fun. You'll never have any fun the rest of your life. Forget it. If you think that this morning, the devil's got you blinded. I challenge you this. Line up 50 lost people and 50 saved people, and you watch each 50 for a whole week, and then you judge which one's the happiest. Anytime. We was down there in a motel the other night after church, and they had a restaurant hooked on the motel. There's people there, and I think it might have been in the morning. Parker's over there, and I think the preacher and his wife was over there. We was having a little fellowship, and they was eating breakfast, and I can't remember, 9 or more than 1, anyway, whatever it is, eating. And they're sitting there, and these men were sitting over in the takes to us. And we was over there laughing and cutting up, talking about the Lord, enjoying the things of God. And these guys just started looking over there, starting to grinning. And they started enjoying it. And you know, before they left, they turned around there and said, well, we enjoyed that. They just enjoyed getting splashed over on them.
And I've been told that in another town where there'd be people sitting around, family talking about the Lord, enjoying the things of God, and they'll say, "Hey, I really enjoyed that." You know why? Because it's very seldom you get out there in the world where anybody's happy. You hear them over there, "Yo, they like," but it's a different kind of wicked, sinister life. Song of Fools. It's not just just the joy in the Lord and clean, good fun and having fun. That's the devil blinds men to the way of salvation. He makes them think Jesus Christ is just a great man. Example. He's not. He's the Savior. All of your good works can't save you. You can't do anything to be saved. You can't do anything that'll make up for one sin you've ever committed in your life. You can't say, "Well, I'm going to read the Bible more. I'm going to pray more. Maybe I'll be saved." Brother, you are saved by faith in believing what Christ done for you on the cross in the finished work of Calvary, and plus nothing, minus nothing. You can rejoice in that. The devil blinds men to the way of salvation. That's where he really worked. You stop any 100 people on any street in America and ask them what they got to do to go to heaven. 98% can't answer you right. First thing up is this, Brother Lord. You won't find 2 out of 100 that can tell you by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Most people would say, "You got to be good." The devil has convinced people the only way they can get to heaven is be good. And they've tried that and it don't work, so they give up. The Bible said there's none good, no, not one. You know how you can go to heaven? You go to heaven by childlike faith in the only one who ever was good, Jesus Christ. And that's what changes you. You know what some of you people's problem is here morning? You think there's no use in me trying it. I can't live it. I can't do it. I can't do that thing. And you're in trouble here this morning. You know the devil's got you. You know your sins has done gone up over your head. You're in over your head. You can't quit. You can't get out. But I'm telling you this, and brother, you can't do it yourself, but he can lift you out of there if you'll put your faith and trust in him. You know what monks and saints have done down through the years? They called them saints. Some of them wore chains so they could barely crawl to punish their flesh and keep them sinning. Do you think that impressed God? No, sir, not a bit. Some of them, brother, I heard about a monk who slept sitting up for 40 years. 40 years made himself sleep sitting up just to say, "I'm not going to let my flesh enjoy life so I can go to heaven when I die." They thought by denying the flesh, you could go to heaven. They used to sit out in swamps and just sit there for days and days. Mosquitoes would just feed off of them. And they thought, "Well, I'm not giving my flesh what it wants." Let me tell you something, brother. Oh, that deserves an honorable mention, and I appreciate their effort. But I'm telling you what, that don't impress God Almighty in the least. In the least, that don't impress God. When God looks down at you this morning, He wants to see if you're covered in the blood of His Son that was shed on Calvary. If you put your faith and trust in that blood, God sees you covered and washed in His blood, and the devil blinds people to that. People are blinded to that. Number 4, this will be last. The devil blinds men to the certainty, death, judgment, and hell. Makes you think you're going to be here from now on. You're walking on thin ice this morning. You're just like a person thinking things are all right, but there's about that much ice underneath your feet, and underneath there's a lake of fire, and any second you could go through it and drop through. You don't realize how fast everything could go out from under you. You don't realize how quick you could die. You don't realize how short your life might be. The devil blinds you. Hey, there's people in hell this morning that was alive last Sunday morning. There's people in hell this morning that was alive yesterday morning and thought everything was all right. They thought, "I've got plenty of time." They thought, "I've done these days." But the devil blinded them. They didn't realize how close they were to dying. The devil blinds men. I read about two boys out there in Texas who died. They tried to talk to them. They wouldn't listen. They were drinking, driving down the road. Had a car wreck. Them died screaming, "Oh God, have mercy. Oh God, have mercy." If they would have known how quickly death was coming, they would have never done that. But the devil had them blinded. I just read about in the paper the other day on the way home, and I heard about it on the news, about Reggie Lewis. Reggie Lewis was the 27-year-old basketball star for Boston Celtics, I believe it was. And somebody said he was their leading scorer, one of their leading scorers on their team this past year. 27 years old, died with cardiac arrest the other day playing ball. 27 years old. Fell over just like that. And there was a big controversy over a doctor's opinion. You know, he first went to them one or two doctors and they said, "There's something on your heart. You better end your career." He went to another doctor and said, the doctor said, "You have an athlete's normal heart. Go ahead and play ball." And now they're considering allegations against that other doctor who told him he's healthy and could go ahead and play. You know what? That doctor said, "Go ahead and play, you're all right." And he wasn't all right. And he died, brother. That's the same way the devil's doing a lot of people. The devil's saying, "You're all right. Nothing bad ain't happened." Why did Reggie Lewis listen to that doctor instead of the other two doctors? Because that doctor told him what he wanted to hear. And that's what the Boston Celtics wanted to hear. Oh man, we're glad. See, they had a lot of money tied up in that kid. Now, you know what? Here's one doctor this morning standing here saying, "You're not all right. You're not all right, man. For you, young lady. For you, boy. For you, mama. For you, dad. You don't know how long you've got. The devil blinds you." He told me out to camp the other night down in South Carolina just recently. There's some boys always play around down after tracks. They have double railroad tracks down there around Pickens County, somewhere along down there in South Carolina. The train was flying by this way, and these boys were going to cross railroad track. And what they'd do, they'd play a game over after the train went by, who could get across first. I think a boy's about 17 years old. They're all standing down there, and they're daring each other and saying, who can get across first? This one boy is standing like this, and he had his feet right on the edge of that thing. He was ready to spring just as soon as that train went by. They could see the caboose way down yonder. They were all like this, going to see who could jump right quick and spring across that track. What they didn't know, another train was coming down the other side. Hid by this train they was watching going by. And it was coming this way, just flying the track. They said them tracks wasn't hardly that far apart. You could just stand and reach between one and the other. That teenage boy stood there that day on the edge of that track just ready to spring as soon as that thing opened. And young people, listen to me this morning. He's standing there like that thinking, the danger will be by in just a second. The danger will be by in just a second. He had no idea that other one was coming this way. And when that train went across that way, that caboose went by. Just a split second that caboose went by, he jumped. And as soon as he jumped, that other train hit him just like that. He had no time to pray. He didn't even know what hit him. Just like, pow, boy. Gone, brother. Just like that. No time to pray. No time to say, "Oh God." No time to say, "Lord, help me." No time. The devil blinds people to the certainty of death, judgment, and hell fire. You say, "That's horrible, preacher." Yep, it sure is. It sure is. And you may be here this morning thinking, "I'm cool, man. Everything's all right. I don't have to listen to you. I've got my plans made. I'm going to live it up. I'm not going to get right with God today." Yeah, that's what many a soul thought last week, and they're in hell this morning. They ain't never going to get out, people. You hear me? They don't get out. You don't get out. You don't get another change. You don't buy the judge off. It's over. It's over. As the devil blinded you. Let's stand by our heads. I like every head bowed, every eye closed. This morning they're going to get us a song. Christians pray, every head bowed, every eye closed. Can I ask you a question this morning? Who is it in here? Everybody? Heads bowed, eyes closed. God's speaking to your heart this morning. Who is it? Who is it? I'm dealing with you today, teenager. You don't know how long you've got. You say, well, I got it all planned out, preacher. I'm going to have a little fun now, and then I'm going to get right with God one of these days. The devil blinds you. The devil blinds you. If God's speaking to your heart, I encourage you, get out of your seat, get down here at this altar, and get right with God. If you're a Christian here this morning, and you've been fooling around doing things you know good and well you're not supposed to do, you know God's dealing with you. You feel guilty. You know good and well you wouldn't want to be caught doing that when Jesus comes. Get down here and get it right, friend. Get down here and get it right. The devil will blind you. He'll make you think, you'd do this for a while. Later on you can get right with God. He's blinding you to the certainty of death, judgment. Dear God in heaven, do what ought to be done in hearts this morning. I've tried to deliver my soul in this message. I pray that you'd take it, bless it, use it for thy glory, and bring conviction on the hearts and minds of those that need it here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's speaking to your heart this morning. We've already got some in the altar. If you need to come, wherever sin, don't you be embarrassed. Don't you be embarrassed to come. Just get right out of your seat, walk down here, get down on your knees and pray. Get right. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. Nobody's going to think bad of you. If you've got high offense, man, get right with God this morning. Let's sing, Brother John. Come on. Just start coming right now. Come on, start coming. Others. 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 Ladies, pray on me. Ladies. Please. Again, and this time I want you to sing with him. Everybody, you know the first verse of Just As I Am. We got a lot of people up here getting right with the Lord. Thank God for that. Amen. Don't be a fool, friend. The devil will blind you. You don't realize how quick life can be over just like that. If you'll get right with the Lord this morning, you'll feel a whole lot better. Now this time I want you to sing with him, okay? Well, just stand there. I want you to sing with him. Learn to sing during the invitation. Amen. Bring honor to God. Makes it easier for people to come. Okay? All right. First verse again. Everybody ready? Everybody. Now sing.
Just as
that's better. Sing.
I am without one.
Come on. Come on right now. Come on right now.
Oh, God, I come.
believe they're still praying this morning. I believe things are getting things right with the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Boy, I like to see folks come like that with tears in their eyes, weeping to an altar. What a blessed sight. Amen. And somebody pray with somebody who got saved. Somebody get saved over here. Jesus, right with the Lord. Amen. Okay. Amen. Thank God. All right, you're supposed to join the church. Come on up here right quick. We got several, I think, this morning supposed to join the church that I've talked to. A lot of people ask, how do you join the church? And if you'll just let me know, we talk about it. You need to join the church. You need to be saved. You need to be baptized. You need to join the church. And I think all these guys have been baptized with you, Chris. Have you baptized Chris? Okay. We're going to be having to baptize next Sunday night. Next Sunday night. For you that have been saved but have not been baptized. Now here is the four musketeers. Now, is this all that I've talked to? Amen. Amen. Appreciate these young men. God really done a work in their life here recently. Two of them's called preach, and thank God for that. And some of them, like Eric here, had been to church about all his life, just never joined the church. And they've been saved, got baptized, and by their testimony, right with the Lord, and they've been saying they want to join the church. So, how many of you want me to embarrass them? Make them all give 5-minute testimony. Hey, all right here, boy. I ain't going to do that. Eric Hawk, someone make the motion. Second. All in favor, let me know with an uplifted hand. Todd Bennett. Someone going to make the motion. Brother Todd. Second. All in favor, let me know with an uplifted hand. He paid me $1,000 to let him join the church. That's right. I wouldn't. Jonathan. Appreciate Brother Jonathan. He's down here all the way from New York. Been here for quite a while, and the Lord's called him to preach. Someone make the motion. Second. All in favor, let me know an uplifted hand. And Brother Chris, also one of our young preachers, and hadn't joined the church yet. Thank God for these boys. Someone make the motion. Second. All in favor, let me know an uplifted hand. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give them the right hand of fellowship. And let me do something else. Don't leave. We have here 3 baby showers. They have inside of them all kinds of little goodies. Huggies. They got lotion. They got, I don't know what that is. Childproof outlets, so your kid can't stick its finger in the socket. They have a baby finger clipper. They got all kind of neat stuff in them. But as you know, anybody has a baby, this ain't 1/1,000th of what they need. So we're going to give them a little shower this morning. Let me encourage everybody here, come up here and stick something in these bags. This is for the little Holland baby. This is for the 2 twin boys over here. And stick something in there and help them buy them some diapers. Okay? It's like you want to if somebody, if you had a baby and it was you. Man, them things, they don't give them things away no more. I could buy bought a car for what I paid for them things when my 2 little ones was growing up. So I hope that you'll do that this morning. Youth choir at 5:30 this evening. A lot of special things coming up. Don't miss it, okay?